Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on The Score.
Mark Grody texted us and was like, guys, I'm going to need 2 seconds for the Bears hit today. So we will oblige. Is Caleb excited to see Flus?
Well, it's such a great question because I think we all have a little bit of an idea of how Caleb feels about the previous coaching staff. But here's how Caleb Williams answered the question about Matt Eberflus.
How do you feel about the time that you had with Matt Eberflus?
Yeah, it was great. I think...
No, it wasn't.
I think we're at the point where, you know...
Sorry, I was the interjection there. I don't want anyone to think that Caleb was being his own ombudsman. No,
it's Caleb's internal monologue.
Yeah, I'm going to act as his anger translator, Luther,
right, yeah.
and tell you that that is not how he felt about what happened last year with Matt Eberflus.
How do you feel about the time that you had with Matt Eberflus?
Yeah, it was great.
It's a privilege to introduce my new brother and 17th head coach of the Chicago Bears, Matt Eberflus.
No!
I mean, they were very inept.
They didn't have a first 15.
This is not Pop Warner.
Hits principle.
Here comes the Hail Mary.
And them throwing the ball for 13 yards or 10 yards, whatever that is, doesn't really matter.
And the ball is caught! Caught! It's a miracle!
The kick is blocked!
It is blocked!
Beautiful! And the Packers have won 11 straight over.
Oh, this is disaster in the making here.
In 70 years of coaching at all three levels, I've never seen dysfunction that cost a team an opportunity to win the game.
Completely botched at the end by the Bears.
I can't believe they didn't take a timeout.
I'm confident that I'll be working.
We got to break in real quick with some breaking news that Matt Eberflus has been fired.
Oh, my gosh.
How do you feel about the time that you had with Matt Eberflus?
Yeah, it was great.
The lie detector test determined that was a lie.
That's right, Maury.
Yeah, it was great.
The official adventures of Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show. Chris Tannehill is great at everything he does, and every open is fantastic. That's an all-timer. Going inside of Caleb's head while he's answering the question and emptying the grocery bag of groceries of all of the things and all of the receipts. That is outstanding.
Can I just say, Lawrence, I went on a journey during that open. I thought he just kind of cut and pasted some of the Goodfellas in there. When Alex Kuhn is the voice that breaks in that Eberflus got fired, I thought that he was telling us right now live in our headphones that Matt Eberflus was getting fired.
Guys, Matt Eberflus is being fired right now.
The beautiful That's the beautiful part of Mitch in the background freaking out about all of it was also excellent. And I'm glad that it was a part of the show. So you have been introduced to both Chris Tannehill and Alex Kuhn. That man is Matt Spiegel.
Oh, I mean, my God, all the feelings. And I forgot that Ryan Poles said, my new brother. Oh, boy. And Trace Armstrong is our daddy. Like, that's the subtext now that we know What a long and hideous chapter of Bearsdom that they are still crawling their way out of as we speak.
Yeah, that is a problem, and we are going to spend some time talking about it with our guy Patrick Manley.
We got to break in real quick with some breaking news that Matt Eberflus has been fired.
He's calling in.
Oh my gosh!
This according to Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network.
Paulie, let me take a break for you real quick. We have breaking news right now on 670 The Score.
I don't know whether it's live or not. Everybody's confused. The Cowboys' defense has been terrible. Yes, they've got injuries, and we'll get to it when we turn the page, but Eberflus could be fired today. We don't know. Every time he used that, Alex is here. We just don't have Gabe.
I didn't. Well, I saw Gabe talking Bears on CHSN yesterday, so, you know, like, you never know when he might appear. So, it's a cool thing.
Oh, my God, man. It's unbelievable. What a crazy-ass, weird week to have Eberflus back in our heads as the opposition and the chess game going on between Ben and Matt. Is Matt even playing chess? We don't know.
He's playing Connect Four.
Oh, dude, Connect Four. There's some strategy.
There is.
Ooh, yeah. I got to get four red guys. Going to get four right up there against Stinger knows how to play. I taught Stinger, and Stinger two plays, and both of them play.
That's an important part of having tactics.
He's got tactics. He's got two different tactics that he uses when he plays Connect Four.
He does have a lot of tactics. There will be a lot of Bears conversation. But obviously, with the news of yesterday and the celebration of yesterday, people have been like, hey, well, love to know what Speaks thinks about the Cubs clinching a playoff spot. The floor is yours, sir.
Really happy for them, man. So many good dudes that we've gotten a chance to know, and the listeners hopefully have gotten a chance to know, too. I don't know about you, but I appreciated the subdued celebration publicly. And then I love the absurdity of the private celebration. Because remember, they're forced to let us in on that now. Like, access is the business, but we're the interlopers. They're doing that for each other. And they deserve to do that for each other. This is a long-ass season. And you got a lot of guys who've gone through a lot of ups and downs, and celebrating getting in on a big old season is you don't get a chance to do that. I mean, what's the equivalent? Like the cast party at the end of a successful Broadway run, or the party after securing the nomination for president when you've done it for a year or more? Maybe
like an Emmy nomination party.
Maybe
Oscar nomination party,
something like that. Maybe after you won the mayorship of Worrytown, what was that party like?
Oh,
do you remember?
I mean, I'm polling really high in the next election here for mayor of Worrytown. I think 95%. Last I checked.
I suspect your celebration will be a little more subdued this time, having already held the crown.
Yeah, and we kind of already knew that there would be an influx of people who wanted to move into Worrytown. And the real estate people are doing very, very well. But I'll say, and I said this to Big Ant yesterday too, I am someone who for a long time struggled with the concept of celebration and celebrating stuff before you get to the ultimate goal or something. You know, Mel used to call it, like, I never spiked the football and that I needed to do that more. And she was right. And I've been doing that more. And
good.
And I think about this particular team and I go, this, sometimes I think that we're looking at it through the lens of, this is a continuation of the Theo Epstein Cubs. Like, no, it's not. It has been 5 years since this franchise has gone to the playoffs, and you only have two holdovers that even remember what was going on. Now, granted, they've got guys that have won World Series in that clubhouse, and that's a good thing to allow for there to be context in the celebration, but this part of the journey deserves to be celebrated because the season is too damn long. It doesn't mean that they should give up on using the last 10 games to try to track down the Brewers. It just means that it's okay for you to step back, take a breath, and enjoy some champagne and fun with your teammates.
This is why I wanted to bring it up today, Lawrence, is exactly for this. That think about all the different people. Think about PCA, the wide-eyed kid, who's shown you glimpses of brilliance and then been bad and had to be sat down. Think about Matthew Boyd's journey from rehabbing at home and never losing faith to an all-star season and a postseason berth as the freaking pillar of the rotation. Think about Matt Shaw's season with all those mechanical adjustments, not once, but twice, and the defense never wavering along the way. Pick a guy, Brad Keller, turned into a reliever and said, whatever you need, I got you. And he's now the closer. I mean, even a vet like Jameson Taillon getting a chance now to get into the postseason with this group, and him saying on Mullion Hall, what, yesterday morning, I don't care what my role is in the playoffs, I'll do whatever the hell you want. I mean, it's a beautiful thing, and you can go down the line. There's so many different people. And seeing Ian Happ emotional as the stoic leader, and our guy Nico with his steadiness, he's like the heart and soul of that batch. It's like there's so many good stories of surviving a tumultuous season that can feel like it's long as hell. So damn right you celebrate.
Your young guys like Imballer and Cade Horton and like them having the opportunity to get a taste of this and us, and I'm sure that we'll get into it at some point, the idea of who starts game one of a playoff series right now. And I'm probably going with Cade Horton if it's someone were to ask me about mm-hmm. it. But all of that stuff, everything that you've been through, all those things that were in your way, like that moment when everyone looked at the Cubs and was like, hey, what the hell is going on? As the Brewers surged by them, guys working through injury to try and get back, guys working through ineffective play to try and get back to what they were. And it was it's one of those things where this season has so many chapters to it. And it's exciting to see what the next chapter is going to be. But you have this chapter of, oh, well, look at this. The Cubs are starting out the season, and they're starting it out against the Dodgers in Japan. And you're like, look at this gauntlet of games that they have to play in the first 6 weeks of the season. And they don't just survive it, Speaks. They thrive mm-hmm. inside yeah. of that. And then the next chapter is, wow, this team's pretty good. Look at them. Like, they are out there moving. Then you get to – Every Cub should be an all-star, right? Like then you get to that part. Like things are going yes. so great. And then after the all-star game, things collapse because the Brewers won't stop losing. And here they are now as a playoff team with a chance and with a variable chance to win it all.
And the other chapter in there, Lawrence, and all of those are absolutely right, is the deadline when I and a ton of others thought they blew it. Thought that they did not do enough as an organization, that they did not show the clubhouse that they believed in them, that they were going to react poorly, and they seemed to go into a bit of a malaise where the offense fell apart. And who knows how much was that, but I certainly talked to people around the game who were like, that's what happens. And we played people saying what the inverse happens when you do go out and get somebody's help. Best bullpen ERA in baseball in the second half is the Philadelphia Phillies. Their bullpen's been an issue for 4 years. They went out and got Duran, and they have the best bullpen ERA in the second half of MLB. Best starting pitcher ERA is the Cubs. Those dudes stepped the hell up. Much respect, because that ragtag rotation and then...
Right, that's the part that we didn't even mention, the fact that Justin Steele isn't even yes. the guy leading your rotation.
No, and that Shota's been in and out with injury, and Tyone's been in and out with injury, and it's been the Colin Rays and then the Javier Assads and others who have kept the thing afloat, and Matthew Boyd's brilliance and now Cade Horton's ascension. But so, I mean, it's a hell of a journey, and that's what you celebrate yesterday, and I'm glad they did, and I'm happy for fans who did too. And now the playoffs come, and the possibilities open back up, man. Six wild card teams since 2012 have made the World Series, including the Diamondbacks just 2 years ago. We all know it's possible.
Well, here's the weird thing about this thing and like the idea of the Cubs clinching a playoff spot. There's still stuff left to be decided.
Five back with 10 to play.
Right. You know, like there's still stuff. And a series with the Mets next week yep. where you can kind of figure out whether or not those are the guys that you want in or not. Like, it's and the National League wildcard thing is so crazy. And I was talking about it on Tuesday. And I was saying like in the meeting, go, if you're the Diamondbacks – just like the Giants, are you kicking yourself because you're like, wait a minute, we could have done more, and we're only a game and a half out of a playoff spot right now. Mm-hmm. And what would it have looked like if we had done more?
What if they just didn't sell?
That's what I mean.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy. But like, I mean, the Cubs have a magic number of six to clinch home field for that first round. So that means any combo of Cubs wins and Padres losses totaling six means that you get home games for the first round. And so, you know, we'll see that there's still a ton to play for. And who knows if the Brewers can fall apart. But then there'll be the slotting and the scheduling, and then we'll figure out what everything is. I think I'm with you, man, on Cade Horton as a game one starter and probably Shota as a game two and Boyd as a game three, the way that Boyd has been of late. And you could pitch it to Boyd as like, you're my dude for game three if we get there. But we'll see.
Or game one.
Yeah. If it's game one, then maybe Tyone is his long form backup ready to come in. You've got Assad who can be a bulk backup ready to come in. So you've got a couple guys like that. So, I mean, it'll be interesting. But, you know, as anti-rookie as some of the big decisions have been for Craig Counsell, it's hard to imagine him making that choice. What I would do is probably give it to Cade Horton. Did you see that the middleman was cut out the other day? I've got the tweet saved. You know how we've been saying the Cade Horton is turned into Jake Arrieta, like that summer when Jake Arrieta turned into Bob Gibson?
Yes.
I saw a stat the other day. Cade Horton of the Cubs is 8-1 over his last 11 starts. He's allowed just six total runs over that span. The only other MLB pitcher to have eight wins and six or fewer runs allowed over an 11-start span in a single season.
Bob Gibson
in 1968. We've done it. We have cut out the middleman. Cade Horton has now been comped, just for this stretch, people, to Bob Gibson.
Now he just has to start throwing at people, like right at their heads, the way that Bob Gibson used to do. And if you wanted to come out there and say something to big old Bob, he'd have something to say to you. And it starts with an F.
And ends with a U.
Yeah, that's right. That is 100% correct.
And then Cade can strike out 17 in an All-Star game, or in a World Series game, I should say, and then we're getting somewhere.
All right, so look, there's a lot of baseball that we have to cover. There's more stuff with the Cubs, including Woo King Tuck stuff that we need to get to before the show is done. But
Red Cross. The Red Cross is getting involved with Woo King Tuck.
Patrick Manilli is going to join us, and we want to give him a lot of space because there are plenty of people that are inside of the football ecosystem in Chicago that have seen stuff like what's happening with the Bears before. Patrick lived it. So we're going to talk with him about similarities between what's happening now, not the TV show, which is great. Shout out to Rerun. And what happened 10 years ago. RIP to D. We will talk with Patrick Manilli next here on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I was special teaming it up all during the week.
Patrick Manilli.
My all-time favorite Bear would have to be Patrick Manilli.
Bears long snapper for 16 seasons.
Manilli is the long snapper, and they fake it. And it's Maynard, the holder, and he fires the pass, and it's caught for the touchdown. Brian Urlacher on the reception. Pretty good imagination.
Craft beer mogul.
Are you drinking the Kool-Aid?
I'm drinking a long snapper IPA.
Patrick Manilli.
This is a city where you can't snow people about special teams.
No, we know it. We had Dave Tobe for a long time. Mm-hmm. We know what good special teams are. We got Pat Manilli on this radio station. We know what we're supposed to see.
There we go. What happened to my mother? What are you, shutting me off here, Alex? You never know when I'm going to talk. Just leave this thing on. What was I saying? Oh, Pat Manley. Yeah, talk to Pat about that.
Yeah.
I would be, I mean, you know, how much I respect Pat. I would love to hear Pat's thoughts on...
Hey, look, we'll talk to him, all right? Yeah, don't worry, Coach.
Let me know.
We'll talk to him. We'll get back to you on that.
Patrick Manley with Spiegel and Holmes.
And a ton of stuff. Of course, the Manley snap.
On 670 The Score.
And you should take note that we do have a dry erase board for Coach, so today would be a great day where you should watch what we're doing on Twitch. Just something to keep in mind, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. In fact, you can see Patrick Manley's handsome face right there if you log on. He joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. CircaLasVegas.com is where you can find our guy, Patrick Manley. Hello, Patrick. How are you?
I'm good. I'm getting over my Bears hangover a little bit. Getting excited for the Cowboys. Started to watch a little bit of tape, but still upset with an 0-2 start and the way it's definitely looked.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean,
your passion and your anger was evident in postgame and evident in hearing you on the station earlier in the week. I'm glad that you're processing it and you've kind of been able to move on a little bit. Has Ben Johnson's talk this week helped you move on a little bit? It was big news yesterday when he called out the practice habits for players publicly and said, we do not have the practice habits of a championship caliber team. That was really good to hear. And you assume the players have heard it directly, Pat. That's good.
Yeah, I've got no problem if a coach uses the media to get a message across to the players, but he has to do it the right way. One, you have to have respect to your players. And I think he has that just being the new coach right now. And I like the way he's delivering it. You know, some people said when he called out Cairo Santos not kicking it out of bounds after the first game, kicking it out of the end zone, hey, he's calling him out. No, he's just saying he needs to do his job. To me, that's all he's doing. And I kind of like it. Different coaches have done that. You know, position coaches have done that. Head coaches have done that. Some have done it a little secretively, but I don't mind the way he's doing it. He has the right to do that right now. He's setting a tone for his team, and I've got no problem with it whatsoever.
Can you tell people about when the inverse was true for you? I thought of you right away in terms of a coach not telling you, the players, the truth.
Well, I mean, it goes back to it was when you and I were working together, Speaks. I was fed up in 14 after playing under Mark Trestman for 2013, that he would tell us after a practice, you know, that's the best practice we've had. He would go out to the media and say, we had a great practice. And I'm looking around, I'm like, that's one of the worst practices I've ever seen. And what all he was doing was letting that standard slip. And he just kept letting it slip. And us veterans were looking at each other, I'm like, this isn't right. You can't say that was a good practice. You know, I'm going to go there. But you can't do that. The real players and the professional players that really care about their team and their game, they know what the standard is. So that happened bad in 2013, and I sat there for maybe 10 weeks with you in 2014 and was just stewing on that. And you could see that happening with the team. As bad as they were playing, everybody pointing fingers, Brandon Marshall yelling at Robbie Gould after a game, you knew that was imploding. And I was like, this is what's happening. I finally had to let it out. That was what was happening at Hallis Hall. And you can't have that. And it seems like Ben Johnson right now is taking control of that. He is setting that standard. And I like that. And it's okay. Like I said, I'm going to say it again. It's okay that he's using the media right now.
Our segment with Patrick Manley is sponsored by Great Clips. It's going to be great. We've been asking all of our pros this week, what does a good practice look like? So we've got someone who played for almost two decades.
Yes.
For you, when you look at practice or practice tape, what should it look like? And what's the individual responsibility of each player before and after they get on the practice field?
Well, I think the first thing is energy. You can feel it as soon as you walk out there. You know when the entire team is ready to go. You can tell during stretch. You can tell during pre-stretch. You can tell in the locker room. It's just kind of set up in meetings before. I'm just going to keep going back. Are guys paying attention in meetings and ready for the details? Are they honed in on whatever specific game plan they're working on, say, against the Cowboys, Lions, or whoever they're playing? But as far as going out to practice, it's energy. You can feel it. It's tangible. You can sense it. And then it's carried on into individual drill. Is that energy in each individual drill? And then you start, you know, different 7-on-7 and team things like that. And once you get the team in 7-on-7 and the team drills, it's details. Everything is done properly. The other one is everybody's holding other teammates accountable. You're not jumping off sides. You're lined up properly. Motion is correct. On defense, are you hiding your coverages? Are you rolling your coverages? Everything detail specific, and you know that. There's no coach saying, hey, run that again. Hey, yelling at a certain player. Stay on sides. Think about this. They're not really – yes, they're coaching, but they're not coaching the details. Everything is done right. And then the other thing is, guys, players are holding each other accountable. And I talked about in the post game and maybe the other day that, you know, it's on the players for jumping off sides. It's not on the coaches. Little things like that. So you know a good practice with the energy and everybody's holding each other accountable. And the coaches, they're just installing. They don't have to coach. Players can coach each other.
Well, think about that. Like, if you got the players holding each other accountable and the standards are what they are, then the coaches are freed to think conceptually, Lawrence. The coaches are freed to go next level and really get somewhere. You can get somewhere special, Pat.
Speaks, they can trust their players, right? They can trust they can put in an extra motion. They can trust they can add, like, an extra call to a play. They can trust you're not going to jump off sides. They're going to trust you're going to be in second and two or second and five, not first and 15. So there's a trust thing that you can – well, I mean, the greatest example is, you know, putting in trick plays. That comes in later in the year, right? That's after you've established yourself, say, offensively, that you trust your players. Hey, okay, we can take 5 minutes out of this practice, and we can install Santa's sleigh. You know, we can put in a fun play like that. And have a, you know, going back to Matt Nagy, you can put in a fun play like that. And that's what happens. You trust your players. Hey, we've got all the little things down. We've got the X's and O's down, the basics down. Let's have some fun. And that comes in later on during the season. But, yeah, the coaches can actually really just coach schematically and then trust guys are going to be in position, run the right motion, stay on side, all that kind of stuff.
Before Chicago takes on Dallas, tune in Sunday morning from 9 until noon for your local Ford dealers pregame show right here on 670 The Score. Mully, Olin, and Patrick will get you set for the game. Then immediately following the game will be Mully, Olin, and Pat. They'll have instant reaction on the postgame show, which is presented by TimberTech Decking and Railing and Arturo Tires. All of it can be heard on The Score and the Odyssey app. I wanted
hold on, Lawrence, let me go. I got something while you're doing that. I was just thinking, Speaks, I want to go back to your question about a good practice. So it just popped in my head. Like on Friday practice, we would start with special teams. And that's why I go back to energy. We started the practice. So I'm like, guys, we have to have the energy. When guys are coming out later that aren't on special teams, they see that we're practicing hard. We're being a little loud, being obnoxious or whatever, that we have to do like that. That's the way it has to be. So when I would call the guys up, in pre-practice, all the special teamers are out there, and you could kind of feel there was an energy. And I'd always say, false enthusiasm is better than no enthusiasm. Ha. Let's go blank and fake it. And people would, you know, it would just fake it, right? And you fake the false enthusiasm, becomes enthusiasm. Guys are walking out in the field. They're like, holy crap, the special teams is getting after it. They're having fun. They're getting to the ball. They're doing whatever. And that's what I was a big believer in. Energy starts practice.
I know that you're not in that particular locker room, and we know that you've been in a leadership role in locker rooms before. I wonder about this particular group of players, and there have been additions here and there. I wonder if they look and they're like, well, we ran the last coach out of here. We kind of did whatever we wanted to do last year. How can the message organizationally get through to them? Because I think Ben's doing all the things that one would want to see a coach do, where it's, I'm going to say it to him privately, I'm going to say it to him publicly. If guys aren't getting that message, is that just a matter of you've got the wrong guys in the locker room?
Yeah, it starts with leadership. It's got to trickle down from the head guys. You know, I just go back to Olin, Urlacher, Lance, Peanut, all those guys that we all followed them, right? Those were the true leaders. So you need leaders that you follow that buy into, say, the head coach and whatnot. But it also goes to the position coaches. You spend so much time in those position rooms, and you're trusting your position coach, O-line coach, linebacker coach, whatever. You want them to make you better. If they're not making you better, that's when you kind of lose trust in your coaches, your head coaches, because your head coach is the one that hired that coach. But it is on the players. It is on the players to have them – hold each other accountable and to buy into the system. But if those coaches aren't good, they get called out quickly. And then that's when stuff starts going downhill. And that's what happened in 13 with Tressman. There were some guys on that staff that just weren't as talented as assistant coaches that I've seen in the past. And guys kind of lost trust in them.
Pat Manley here with us on Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score. Pat, I'm trying to figure out what Ben might do to get this running game going. And, you know, maybe there's more usage of Kyle Manungai. Maybe it's score and game situation to get enough calls going. But now we're back at home. The Bears are back at home. I saw a lot more shotgun formation and shotgun runs for DeAndre Swift in game two on the road than I did in game one at home against the Vikings. Was that about a home road swap? Was it about Swift comfort, Caleb comfort? Do you think we'll see more under center back home this week?
I wonder about the cadence as well. You know, the silent count, you know, with a head bob and all that kind of stuff to be able to get off the ball. It's a little bit harder if you are under center because you don't have the center doing the head bob and you don't have the you know, just the cadence that's set up that way in the shotgun that you can go silent. The other one is, too, Ben Johnson said it. He's going to tailor this offense to Caleb. And this, I know you're talking about DeAndre Swift, but this is only game two with this entire offense out there. And I wonder how much he's kind of morphing this offense and figuring out what is best for these guys. But as far as the run game, I think that's kind of the reason. And I think he's trying both to see what is best for DeAndre Swift. I thought he ran the ball a little bit better in the second game. But at home, you can do whatever you want with cadence, and that can help the run game as well, being under center.
When you look at Dallas on tape, what do you see?
Matt Eberflus's defense struggling, obviously, against Russell Wilson, but a lot of mental mistakes, a lot of blown coverages, a lot of big plays, a lot of pointing, doing this and the, you know, their arms up, like what's going on in the defensive backfield. It seems like they're still running that system. So I think there is potential for big plays in Caleb. And what I want to see, guys, this is start 20 for Caleb Williams. It's time for him to take ownership. It's time for us to see us winning games because of Caleb Williams. It's time for us to see, hey, you know, if we give up, let's not say 52 points, but we give up 30 points, let's score 34 points and win the game because of Caleb Williams. It's start 20. He's the first pick in the draft. It's time for him to take ownership and us to be talking about not his improvement, but about wins because of Caleb Williams. And I think this defense is potentially this weekend we could see that.
Patrick, you are the absolute best.
First thing I'd like to say, if you love football, you had to love this practice. This was a vicious practice, a highly competitive practice.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like the pact between coach and player is destroyed when you lie with them there. I always
you can't
think
lie. Just be honest. No. It's okay to call a player out. I like what I'm hearing from Ben Johnson.
I always think at the time when I told Ruben he was really brave getting his vaccinations from the doctor. Ruben, you were really brave today. And he said, no, I wasn't. I was like, yeah, actually, you're right.
You get called out. You get called out. The honesty's there, man.
Yeah, man. And, and you deserve to get called out. So.
Yep.
Thank you, Patrick.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
That is Patrick Manley. You can check him out on our pregame show, the local Ford Dealers pregame show right here on 670 The Score. When we come back, all right, it's Thursday. Spiegs has been out. We're going to turn the damn page and get ourselves ready for the Cowboys next here on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.